Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today with a company introduction to K2 Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol KTO and on the OTCQB under the symbol KTGDF, also on the Frankfurt Exchange under the symbol 23K. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Steve Swanton. Now, Steve, I want to first and foremost give a broad overview of the company, because a lot of the conversations I've had over the last week or so before I was introducing this company, I was asking some of my guests, you know, what do you guys think of K2 Gold? And a lot of the response I got was, oh, that's that explorer focused in the Yukon. That's not actually the focus of the company right now. The company has recently acquired this Mojave project in the eastern part of Southern California, just completed a phase one drill program. Steve, start us off with the broad comments of the focus in Southern California and some background on this Mojave project, please.
Okay, thanks very much, Corey. Yeah, no, about a year ago, actually, we changed focus from the Yukon, and although we still hold a pretty strong project in what's called the Wells Project outside of Dawson, between Dawson and a place called Beaver Creek, we decided to switch focus because, as your listeners are probably well aware, we're part of the Discovery Group. We raised a bunch of money, and we were looking for something a little bit more advanced. This project was brought to my attention by Chris Taylor, who some of you might know from Kodiak, from Great Bear. And Chris mentioned that this project had been lying kind of dormant since 1997 when BHP drilled it. And they drilled it very successfully, as did Newmont before them. But through a series of litigation with the landowner, and then I think 2008 financial crisis and various other, I would say, fairly insignificant reasons why it wasn't developed, we picked it up from SSR. Well, SSR dropped it, but they gave us all their information. They were very useful in transferring whatever they had. We built on the database. We did our own additional soil sample. But the footprint of mineralization down there is quite incredible. It's gold mineralization in epithermal gold. It's along a fault within sort of limey shales and limestones. And once we homed in with our WorldView 3 and our LIDAR work, it became very apparent where the mineralization was. So it sits along about a 3 kilometer by 2 kilometer cross between two different faults, one east-west, one to the northwest. And yeah, we've continued doing exploration. We had the right to start a drill program, a heli-borne drill program, which we have now completed. We put out news release today, and we're pretty well on track for going to the phase two, which we hope we will be drilling sometime next year.
So, Steve, in terms of background for this project, fine, a lot of majors have been on this site, and there has been some prior work, but there is no prior resource on this, right? This is still building towards issuing an initial resource on the project.
Absolutely, Corey. But we have done our own internal resource calculation. We've had three different people look at it. And I'm not at liberty to say what it is, but we wouldn't be down there if we didn't think there was something substantial. Because, as you know, California is not the easiest jurisdiction in the world to work in. But I have to say that the U.S., should we say, rules and regulations are very clear if you're on BLM land, which we are. In that you have the right to explore and you have the right to mine. So we're just following through on our right within the USA. And yes, this project had lain dormant mainly because it was on the edge of a park, but the park was put into a national park for, it's called a site of special scientific interest, and then it was taken out of the park by BHP. BHP actually, when they left, and it was in 1997, they had a group decision from Melbourne, from London as well, that they weren't going to do any more gold exploration. The modus operandi of a large company like BHP, and by the way, I used to work for them on two separate occasions over 7 or 8 years, they will not explore for a product where they don't really have a large market share, and they decided that they were going to pull out. Now, the geologist who was working on the property at the time put out a very glowing report on the Mojave property, but it was a strategic decision, much like it was that they pulled out of Oyu Tolgoi as well. At some point, there was a strategic position came from high up, And since 1997, it has laid, just dormant, but the resource has been known.
Okay, but now you guys are exploring the project, and from my understanding, there's a total of 12 targets on this project that you guys have defined, both gold and base metals targets. You have two general areas here, an eastern target area that encompasses 7 of these targets, and a western target area that encompasses 5 of these total 12 targets. The focus right now is on the eastern target areas. Give us the general goals, the overall strategy of the Phase 1 program that has just completed.
Okay, eastern side is an epithermal gold. The western side, as you quite rightly say, is the base metals. But what we found with this last program was something that we kind of hoped we'd find, but we weren't going to be sure until we got on the ground. The area between the base metals and the gold has got a lot of alteration. The rocks are completely smashed up. It looks like it's had a lot of fluid flow through it. And there seems to be some evidence of some old workings from the turn of the last century. So we are quite confident that it's not just an east and a west. It's continual all the way through. And the object of our last program was to do a little bit more definition around what BHP and Newmont had drilled before, but also to get a better handle on an area which we call Upland Valley between the Newmont zone and the Dragonfly zone, which is on the eastern target, and the base metal zone, which in one of the earlier reports talks about the possibility of a porphyry copper. So this program, I guess, it really did answer a bunch of questions for us. But I guess the biggest unknown at the moment is, does that middle area, the one we're calling Upland Valley, have a gold expression similar to the eastern zone? If it does, we're talking a completely different kettle of fish here.
So this Phase 1 program, which is now completed, that's the news that you just released on Monday. It was a total of 17 RC holes for a little over 2,500 meters. Obviously, it's going to take a little bit of time to get these results back from the labs because of how backed up the labs are. But what about already looking ahead to some sort of follow-up work? Obviously, these results will dictate where you go, but what is going to be some of the follow-up work you guys are going to undertake?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we've already now applied. We're going to be applying, but we've already indicated that we're going to apply for a second phase. It's going to be a 30-site program. Bear in mind, we were drilling off 4 sites with this phase one. Phase two is going to be off 30 sites using a road-based program, not a heli-borne program. And it's within an area that has already been evaluated by the Bureau of Lands Management before. So it's not like we're trying to recreate the wheel here. We're also going into an area which they've evaluated for its First Nation and its environmental impacts. And we're doing is going in and refurbishing an old drill road that BHP had put in and trying to drill along that section. So it's going to give us enough data that we can actually start really putting our hands around an inferred resource after this second program.
Okay, now in terms of past drill results and what has driven you to some of these targets, can you give us a recap of some of the key numbers, some of the holes in terms of width, in terms of grade that you're hoping to prove and what you could even improve upon with this drill program?
Yeah, the Dragonfly zone, there was one particular drill hole that had 100 meters of a gram. Now, that's quite significant because it's right from surface. It's on the side of a hill. And a lot of the intersections were of a similar type to that in every single hole that BHP drilled and every single one that Newmont drilled. They drilled 35 holes between the two of them. It's all RC drilling. Unfortunately, we don't have the chips available for us to review, but we do have the logs. And the logs which we have, which we've logged for our own drill holes, seem very similar to what was drilled before. So, you know, we're trying to expand from what they had with more knowledge, if you like. But we were constrained to working within the boundaries of where they'd been before. But our closest drill hole to any previous drill hole was 61 meters.
Okay, so this is still very much a discovery type of drill program. You are, yes, trying to prove up a resource, but first things first is going out there and making sure that this mineralization, which has been hit in the past, is there and how you can tie it together. enough focus on that drill program. It's very much going to drive the story forward, but we are still waiting on assays results. Let's talk about the management team, because you guys are part of the Discovery Group, which I've had a number of those companies on the show. Great Bear, Valor Metals, Kodiak Copper, Fireweed. It's a good group in terms of finding resources and also being able to fund the exploration. Give us a little background on the relationship with the Discovery Group, please.
Yeah, yes, it's one of the eight or so companies that's in the Discovery Group. And it was ostensibly set up as a kind of spin-off from the Kaminak. I mean, K2 actually stands for Kaminak 2 originally. I mean, the name seems a bit distant now, but it's ironic that, yeah, it's been in the group, and I've known John Robbins for over 35 years. I did a deal when I was at BHP with John. So we've had a working relationship for a long time. And this opportunity to come up to run what was ostensibly originally the Yukon project was a good opportunity. But as you know, working in the Yukon, it's a 3-month deal. So John said, look, Discovery Group have enough capital. We have enough stroke that we can probably raise $1 million and go somewhere else. That's why we decided, with a little bit of encouragement from Chris Taylor, who knew about the project before, that we'd turn our direction south. So the Discovery Group gave us the, if you like, the foothold and also the financial wherewithal to be able to go to somewhere else, but without people saying, well, why on earth are these guys doing it over here? A lot of people know that the gold rush started in California and that moved up to the Yukon, ironically. And here we are now back in one of those very highly prospective places. But I would say the jurisdiction of California is much like anywhere in the world. It's it has its challenges, but it's not impossible at all. And we're having some great success ourselves. The local town, in fact, of Lone Pine, which is our local town, are very supportive, I believe, of what we're doing. And time will tell over, over the next few months, if we get the phase two, we're going to be spending a lot more money down there, which, you know, in these times of COVID, comes in handy, where the local population is very much reliant on a tourist-based revenue, and profit base.
Yeah, it's a whole new world that everyone's dealing with, but especially for exploration mining companies, you do need to find that local workforce to be able to keep moving the project forward. Steve, can you give us a little background on your history in the mining and resource sector, please?
I started life at Rio Tinto in the UK. You can obviously hear I got a British accent. And I was sent around the world as one of those guys who goes and looks at whatever they have. And so I spent a bunch of time in Greenland, Ecuador. And then I went out on my own and lived in Bolivia for a while. Then after living in Bolivia, I was poached by Yorkton Securities to become an analyst there. So I spent 3 years with the Yorkton Securities crowd doing analytical work, Frank Giustra. And then shortly after that, joined BHP. Briefly in the middle of my BHP years, I worked for Lucas Lundin, and then BHP wanted me to go back. So I returned to BHP, then in the business development role. So I started out as a geologist and ended up in business development. And then it was shortly after working with BHP that I went to Singapore, set up my own company in Singapore. But after the financial crisis, came back to Canada and met up with John again. And we decided that we'd try and make a go of this company, which was originally called West Melville, which is now K2 Gold.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some other company fundamentals, share structure, a little under 52 million shares outstanding on a fully diluted basis, about 55 million. Can you share with us some of the larger shareholders, whether it's insiders, close associates, anybody else?
Look, there's no large corporate holding within ours. It's high net worth individuals that, of which, a lot of people would know around town here, but there's no single shareholder. I think John Robbins might be the largest single shareholder. We have a lot of following at Hayward. We have a lot of following at Canaccord. And the likes of Peter Brown and others are very supportive and long-term shareholders within our company.
Okay. And just for a little bit more detail, the retail float sits at about 46%. Cash in the bank. How much money does the company have right now to progress towards that phase two program?
Yeah, we have $2 million at the moment in the bank. And clearly, if we're going to be doing a much larger program of 30 sites down there. We're going to have to come back and finance. But the nice thing is when you look at our share structures, we don't have any shares outstanding. Everything is fully diluted. So we, apart from options, there's no warrants outstanding. So what you see is what you get with the stock at the moment.
Okay, let's wrap it up with just a quick comment on news flow. We've talked a lot about the drill program. Obviously, drill results will be a key driver in future news flow. What else can investors or those watching the story expect?
Yeah, the next news flow would be the results from this drilling. And also, look, if we have some success in that Upland Valley that I was talking about before, that we're going to be talking more extensively about that area because it is quite substantial in its size. But also it is very well hidden and in an area which has some sensitivities around the environmental that would be key to us. But so it would be that. And then it would be the announcement of the phase two drilling would be the following announcement after the results of this current drilling program.
All right, Steve, I appreciate your time. I appreciate the general introduction to K2 Gold. If anybody has any follow-up questions or wants any more color on different aspects of the company, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get those answered for you. And we will also follow up as we start to see some of the at least initial drill results from this phase one program. Steve, thanks for your time today. I'll follow up with you as some more news hits the market.
Thanks very much, Corey.